The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
All right, we'll welcome you back halfway through already. Kings, Pelicans, tonight. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a must win. Also, as they say, this time it's for real. And Jason, let me turn it over to you. You are in New Orleans,
yes,
live, as they say, for tonight's event. And you have a very special guest in studio with you.
That's right. Todd Graffinini, the voice of the Pelicans, is here with us in studio. He's there. You see him, Dave? You see Todd?
I see Todd. Good morning,
Thanks for
Todd.
Radio.
Thank you.
Yes. I've got two peas in a pod here, Dave, so you're going to love this. So, Todd, you prefer to broadcast on a stick mic, correct?
I've called games on a stick mic now for about 12 years.
But tonight you aren't, and why?
I have switched to headset because I have not taken my stick mic on the road this year just for technical purposes. So I've worn a headset in all the road games. We've got the best road record in the NBA at 28-14. So I am taking one for the team tonight and eschewing the stick mic and going with my road headset.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to pull out all the stops.
Yeah, here. He's very superstitious, Dave. That's six straight home losses. Todd's like, I'm going to do my part.
Todd, we don't know each other, and I want to say first off, with your busy day, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining us. This is super cool of you. Also, I'm sure the Pelicans pay you nicely. But I have 20 American dollars if you go back to the stick, Mike. I'll Venmo you right now, dude.
Only 20, Dave? I think we need to up the price.
50, 60, 100 American dollars. That's at least one meal for two at the gumbo shop if you switch back to the stick, Mike. Any chance?
I barely could just hear what he was saying.
Oh, sorry. He wants you to – he's offering money for you to go to the stick, Mike, basically.
Oh, no. That's not happening.
No.
But – like, I appreciate the effort.
Is there a dollar figure we can get to?
I made that decision 2 days ago. And I was like, what can I do? What can I – because, again, it's just how crazy is it? You got to – I mean, look, whether we get in or not or whoever gets in, these are playoff teams.
Yeah.
You know, the record indicates that – and I don't want to get into your game with Phoenix the other night because I really wouldn't be sitting here right now if y'all could have pulled that one out. But
yeah. But
I digress.
Yeah.
But I digress.
We don't want to get into that either.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? You don't lose six in a row to end a season when you're trying to get, you know, out of the play-in or what have you. And it just, for whatever reason, it's just been a struggle in this building this year. You know, the old saying is, hey, go 500 on the road and everything will take care of itself. Well, the Pels were 28-14 on the road this year.
Wow.
That's the best road record in the NBA, better than the Boston Celtics did away from home, and were 500 pretty much at home at 21-20 with a lot of those losses coming late. And that's really been the tough thing about the home slate this year is just we have not been able to finish clutch games.
So, Todd, for you, why do you think the Pelicans have dominated the Kings? I mean, not only is it 5-0, Dave and I have been talking about, I mean, I don't even know if the Kings have had a chance to win one of the five. I think the last one they probably played their best, but it also felt like they just don't match up well. What do you see when you see these two teams play?
To me, it's pretty simple. Number one, we shoot the lights out every time we play you guys. And number two, I think Jonas Valanciunas knows exactly what Domantas Sabonis is going to do every single possession. And when your offense goes through Domas, and look, De'Aaron Fox is a great player, but the offense goes through Sabonis. And I just think Valanciunas knows how to deal with Sabonis, and it makes your offense a little more staggered. Look, you're going to make threes. That happens. But I just don't think, you know, I go back to our game on Sunday against the Lakers. Everything was just hard offensively. The Lakers did such a good job on us denying the three. Look, they watched film. They saw what we did in Sacramento and San Francisco last Thursday and Friday when we made 42 threes in two games. There were no open looks on Sunday against the Lakers. And I just think that's, you know, what the Pelicans have to do defensively against the Kings. You're going to make them, but you got to make it hard on them. And I just think defensively we have made it hard on the Kings offensively all year long, and that has really been the key to me. That and, you know, making a boatload of three-point shots.
Voice of the Pelicans, Todd Graffinini, joining us. Todd, granted, a lot of teams, especially now, they keep everything close to the vest injury-wise, so I completely forgive you if you don't have anything for us. We know that, obviously, Zion's out. I'm really more concerned about Jose Alvarado and the twisted ankle. And Brandon Ingram just hasn't looked right, didn't look right against the Lakers. Could you expand, A, if you know anything about how they're doing going into the game, and B, what you see going on with Brandon, if anything?
I was at practice yesterday, and Brandon Ingram looked very, very motivated and very, very fresh. And I think he knows now that he's the man. I mean, look, what we saw on Tuesday night was what New Orleanians have been waiting for 5 years, and that's Zion Williamson to take over a postseason game, because he's never been in one. And he was doing it. And the unfortunate thing was, on his 40th point, he had to leave. And Brandon Ingram has been in that situation before as well. 2 years ago, we didn't have Zion when we won both play-in games and wound up playing the Suns and lost to them in six in a really, really tough series. But Brandon Ingram was the offense for the Pelicans for the most part in that playoff series. So we have seen him do it before. I think it was just a little strange for him to take a back seat the other night, because he was not playing the way we know he is capable of. It's just taken him a couple of games to get going since the injury. And I would expect we're going to see a much different Brandon Ingram tonight than we've seen the last two games. As far as Jose Alvarado, it's funny, because I was, again, at practice yesterday, and I was joking with our sideline reporter, Aaron Summers. I'm like, Jose's being held together by scotch tape. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's got tape on his left thumb. He's got his ring finger and his pinky finger taped together. He rolled his ankle twice on Tuesday night against the backboard stanchion against the Lakers, and the dude never came out. And he's not on the injury report. Wow. So he's playing. Yeah. That you talk about tough as nails. That is Jose Alvarado. In many aspects, he is the heart and soul of this team. When you're like he and Najee Marshall, who we call the knife around here, those are the real energy, bring it off the bench guys. That's why the Pels have been so good all year long, because when you've had that regular set starting five, which now of course is not there with no Zion, but then you bring a Trey Murphy off the bench, a Jose Alvarado, Najee Marshall, Larry Nance. It was a really set rotation, and you knew what you were going to get each and every night. And one of the really challenges for Willie Green, and I know it's a problem you want to have, but when everybody's healthy, he gets into, all right, well, who am I going to play? Because you've got 10, 11 guys that can legitimately play. But in the playoffs, you want to go, sorry, Jim Mora. Hey. You want to go, you know, to an 8 or 9. You don't want to play 11. It's been a really strange situation like that.
So does, I'm assuming then with Zion being out, does Murphy just go right back in the starting line? And he's been a Kings killer too. He's hitting threes against the Kings at a high rate.
When he was starting, when Ingram was out for the last, you know, couple of weeks, I mean, Murphy was lighting it up. It was really rare where he would not have, you know, 4, 5, 6 threes. It's all about the volume, as you guys well know. I mean, the Kings are the ultimate volume team. You put up enough, you're going to make enough. And, you know, Murphy was getting up shots. There's the real anomaly the other night was C.J. McCollum. I mean, you saw him on Thursday in Sacramento. What he did against you guys, he's been doing for the last month. I mean, he has been absolutely filling it up. And for him to go 1 for 9 against the Lakers. And by the way, can I ask you guys a question? How in the hell you beat the Lakers 3 times?
4.
We're 4-0. It doesn't make any sense. It's 0-5 against you guys.
It's exactly, Todd, where I was going to go with the next question.
Matchups, man.
I'll let you lead into it. Can you, we talked about this. Not only are we 0-5 against the Pelicans, But the Pelicans have, we mentioned this all the time, have beaten the Kings by a larger margin than any team has ever beaten another team in the regular season. But we're 4-0 against the Lakers, who have had a ton of success against you. Do you have, what would your explanation be, you know, styles make fights, basically?
I really have none. I mean, it is matchups.
Yeah.
And it's been a favorable matchup, Pelicans-Kings. And it's just not been a good matchup for the Pelicans against the Lakers. And, a lot of that has to do with LeBron James, who has been able to guard Zion Williamson very effectively. They build that hockey wall, as we like to call it, against Z. And he really started only doing that pull-up midi in the last couple of weeks. He started to add that. He was trying to force the issue again and again against the Lakers, and it just wasn't working. And, of course, we're not going to get into the free throw situation.
Oh, God. We did earlier. Night.
I've vented enough on that against our fellow Laker team. Your guess is as good as mine, fellas. I mean, it's just, it's inexplicable. And I joked with Scott Marsh, who every time we come to Sacramento, I go on with him before the game. And I think the one moment that I will never forget from this season, regardless of what happens tonight, because look, guys, it's been a great year for us. I mean, we won 49 games, and I've had a blast watching this team. And the one moment that I will never forget is that January game in Sacramento when I looked at the scoreboard and I had to literally do a triple take. I was like, is it? It's 112-62.
Yep.
And I went on the, and I'm wondering aloud, I go, are we up by 50? And Scott Marsh writes yes on a card and holds it up in front of my face.
Yeah.
I literally could not believe.
Without Zion.
Without Zion. Yeah. And here was the other thing that I didn't say. And I waited until basically, the white flag had been raised, because I did not even want to utter this. I'm looking at my stat monitor and does De'Aaron Fox have 3 points in this game? Yeah. I didn't even want to speak that he – I could not believe – that was the most unreal Sunday afternoon I have experienced as an NBA announcer.
Those different feelings for us, huh, Dave?
I feel like I'm just reliving a colonoscopy listening to this. Todd, look, we want to be on time. We know you've got stuff to do. You were it's game day. You were nice enough to join Jason in studio out there. I would say good luck, but I don't want to lie to you. That's a bad way to start out a friendship. But
I respect it. I respect it. I'd say the same thing to you.
All right. Well, you have a great call tonight. Either way, hopefully it's a great game, and obviously. I don't have anything clever to say. I'm way too nervous. Todd, thank you so much for joining
us. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Todd.
All right, that is Todd Graffinini, New Orleans Pelicans radio voice. We will take a break. When we come back, we've got practice sound. It's just a one-minute break. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
Carmichael Dave.
Has very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
I haven't listened to this audio yet, but I'll tell you right now, for reasons you'll soon understand, if there's an appropriateness in it, it'll be the biggest shock ever. This is Raider Matt Daniels. Looks like he's talking to a fellow Kings fan. About tonight.
Go Fox.
Go Fox.
Go Murray.
Go Murray.
Go Malik Monk.
Go Malik Monk.
Go Sabonis.
Go Sabonis.
Go Len.
Go Len.
Go Lyles.
Go Lyles.
Go who else?
Come on.
Me.
Go Barnes.
Go Barnes.
We talked earlier, Jason, about what it means.
Yeah,
I mean, this kid, got to be honest. Look, we're fair on the show. We always try to be honest and fair, not put the purple glasses on. Not great pronunciation from the kid.
Got to work on it.
You got to work on that. His name's Otto. That's Matt's son.
Otto's obviously old enough to talk. We got to work on this.
Yeah, we got to work on this, okay? Because, it's playing day. You have to bring
it.
Okay?
You're messing around.
Let's go, Otto.
Yeah, get it together.
You. By the way, when he first started out,
I heard it. Wait, what?
Chris and I both locked eyes very quickly, which actually would have been the funniest thing to happen all day long. Yes. But that's what it means. That's a lot of how many little kids are out there, whether it's little Otto or my kids, your kid, whoever. Yeah. Like it just means so much more than the final score and winning. It's so great for the community. And how dare anyone rob us of that? New Orleans has other things.
Yes. They'll be just fine.
They'll be fine. We don't have other things.
We can't
things.
Have nice things.
Yeah. We have the Republic. We have the Rivercats. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, but, they're in the middle of their season right now.
Right.
Let's go. All right. The Kings had a practice yesterday, Jason.
Yeah, before they flew out here.
Yes. I was there to get audio.
Oh, nice.
And
exclusive?
Honestly, they didn't let anybody else in.
It was just you.
I paid off the doorman, and they were a little surprised, like, what is Dave doing here? But, hey, you know what? We're their proud partner. So yeah. I asked all these questions.
Okay.
Including De'Aaron Fox on Keegan's dunks and aggressiveness in the last game.
Keegan said that he's pretty easily winning the dunk contest.
I was doing my Brendan impersonation.
Gosh, you sound just like him.
So it was funny because
my fault, Dave. I should have labeled that for you.
You should run that by him when he comes in studio, Dave.
What do you think of my impersonation of you, Brendan? It was amazing because I wanted to seem like it was everyone out there. So
yeah, you did a good job of that.
Here's me as Brendan Nunes. That just robbed me of that whole bit. Talking to De'Aaron Fox about dunking.
Keegan said that he's pretty easily winning the dunk contest, and you don't have any posters this year.
You said what?
You said that.
I hurt my ankle like third game of the season, so he can have it. He can have it. I haven't dunked a lot this year, but it is what it is.
For him, how much do you want to see him carry over some of that aggression from last game?
I mean, we want him to play the exact same way. Obviously, you're not going to make 8 threes every game, but. We want him to go out there and continue to be aggressive. That helps us in all aspects. And obviously, even if you're not making shots, for us, we have to win the possession game. So with that being offensive rebounds, he's taking a guy away from the basket. Him being aggressive, making or missing shots, continues to help us.
I agree.
Yeah.
Not really a lot to build off of there. Just stay aggressive. The most interesting thing I heard of the whole thing is it'll be really interesting after the season to get Fox's full post-mortem on the year. Because I can't help but think, well, hold on, you hurt your ankle in the third game. And there was that kind of month stretch where he looked like he was really hurting. That was the whole, no one's talking to the media, what's going on, all that garbage, silly stuff. And it makes me wonder, what if he didn't hurt his ankle? Like, is he going to be, he's had a really good season.
He has. He really has. And we all felt like at one point, remember very early on, Dave, we're like, he's not the MVP, but he's in the MVP conversation early. And then Sabonis really started to take off. But, he was there the other night, though. And I think Fox is going, again, kind of a non-negotiable. He has to be great tonight. He has to be.
The YouTube chat is going strong. Thanks to everybody in there. We appreciate you. Chuckles916, that's the username, brings up a great point. No way that was Brendan. He would have had to have been on time.
Wow.
I know. Hey,
good active listening.
It's game day.
Yeah.
Turkey sausage. Here's Mike Brown on high pressure games.
It's definitely helped playing in games of big magnitudes like we had prior to it. Our mindset has already been at a certain level. And so now to kind of bring everything together and see it versus a good team was gratifying. And it just helps add to the belief of what is already there.
Okay. So we talked earlier, Jason, about physicality. I had not heard any of these, so this is interesting because when we talked about it, in fact, it was 3 for madness, I believe. The question was, do the Kings need to try to match their physicality? You and I both said pretty much no. Don't wilt to it, but play your game. Don't adjust to the Pelicans. Here's Mike Brown on the physicality.
You want to play as physical as we can for as close to 48 minutes as we can, and that's our identity. First and foremost, we want to play fast. We feel like we have the fastest player in the game of basketball in Fox. It's whether it's a make or miss, we want to be fast. And then even in the half court, we want to play with some pace, because We're not going to throw the ball to this guy and say, hey, go get a bucket. Every once in a while, maybe Fox. But we don't have a lot of guys like that, and that's just not how we play. So even in the half court, we want to play extremely fast. And the next thing is we want to be physical, and it's physical on both ends. We want to set good screens to get your teammates open. But more importantly, we want people to feel us defensively from the start to finish in a way that we're not sending them to the free throw line. And then, I said this before, too, our group is really connected, and they have to keep playing for each other. And if you do that, the belief in the group when they play for each other can go out the roof. And so I liked all three of those instances that are part of our identity in our last game versus Golden State.
Okay. So at first, Jason, I was like, oh, wow, he kind of countermanded everything we just said. But then when you hear the whole answer in context, mm-hmm. Maybe I'm taking it differently, but I kind of feel like we're on the same page in the sense that he said, well, we want to be physical, but sure. Then said, our game is being fast. We want to be fast. We want to get out there and play our style, but we also want to augment that by being physical, especially on defense and setting screens.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah, and the way the game was officiated the other day, and I assume it'll be similar to this. I mean, look, the officials have lightened the way they're calling this, right? You can be way more physical. It's not as easily as predictable as it's been, I would say. I know there was a sequence that we referenced the other day in that Warrior game, Dave, where literally on one end, right down by you, where you were sitting, Klay Thompson basically got tackled. No whistle. Go to the other end, De'Aaron, same thing. And then they come the other way, and then De'Aaron has a bump foul out on the perimeter on Steph Curry, and you're thinking, wait, we had like two violent hits on each end and no whistle. So you've got to be able to play the way they're officiating, be as aggressive as they're allowing you to be. And then I think Coach is right, though. You can't let this game get away from you at the foul line. You got to be close in the number of attempts and makes. And so a lot of little things, a lot of little nuance inside this game tonight for this matchup.
Keegan Murray spoke as well. Let me see here. A number of clips. Oh, here's something interesting. Keegan Murray. Remember the guy who had the tattoo that said no regrets?
Yes.
He wants to play with no regrets.
I mean, not really, to be honest. I mean, I feel like you go out there and it's a basketball at the end of the day. So you want to go out there and just give it your all. And at the end of the day, my goal is just to leave the game with no regrets. And I just want to go into the offseason, whenever that is, with no regrets of how that game ended.
Okay. He also spoke about playing New Orleans without Zion Williamson.
I mean, we played them without Zion before, and I think they still handed it to us. But obviously, it's a different team without him. Different look. They're going to shoot a lot more shots, a lot more mid-range shots, things like that. So we just have to focus on that.
A couple of notes here. I just got an email, some interesting notes from the Pelican side. Did you know that the local, we don't really have one, I don't think. We'll call the Golden One Center G1C. I've always liked the idea of calling it the bank, but that hasn't caught on. Hmm. You know what they call Smoothie King Center locally there?
Yes, wait a minute. Oh, man, the blender?
The blender is correct.
Yeah.
Let's get the blender going.
Yeah.
Leanna Crawford, I don't believe related to Joey, will be doing the national anthem.
Okay.
The halftime entertainment will be the Rebirth Brass Band. I can tell you right now, having never heard that in my life, that's going to be awesome.
Hmm.
And as we exclusively reported yesterday, confirmed now, the Pelicans will be wearing the Statement Edition red, and the Kings will be wearing their whites.
Okay.
I hope their statement is booking tickets to Cancun. That's what I hope. I hope the Statement Edition is, we are booking plane tickets to Cancun.
For other teams.
Yes, not for us.
I was like, wait a minute.
They're like our travel agent. Yeah, no thank you. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to more practice audio here. As a lot of it's just coming in. And kind of go back through, Jason, as much as it hurts. But, they say, in order to change the future, you must first learn the past.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the saying. So we'll go through, as much as it might hurt, something like that. I will tell you, as we break, one of the, you've got Valanciunas down low, who is playing tonight, and our guy mentioned that earlier, but with Zion out, that's a lot of missing girth for the New Orleans Pelicans. And there might be people that identify with the idea of missing girth. Hi, how are you doing? Maybe that's not, you know, I keep focusing a lot on, you know, if somebody out there that's insecure and, you know, you want to change things in the bedroom and all that when I talk about my friends at UpsizeMatters.com. Let me back up. You might also have no issues, but maybe you're just that person that wants the old tuna can. You know what I'm saying? maybe you just want to, you know, it's like somebody making the all-star team and you want to be the MVP. You don't have to. You don't have to be missing anything or be low on anything. Maybe you've been blessed. Atta kid. Well, bless yourself more with Dr. Jack Friedlander and his friend Dr. Pash out in San Francisco. Roseville in San Francisco is where the UpsizeMatters.com clinics are. Non-surgical, virtually pain-free, immediate results. You can walk in one way and walk out the other. Even get your free consultation and the procedure done on the same day. It's safe. It's effective. It's long-lasting. It's semi-permanent. Done by real learned doctors. Dr. Jack, Dr. Pash, a couple of great guys know what they're doing, and they can help you. Again, whether you're somebody that's trying to get up there to where you want to be, or somebody who's already there and you just want to announce your presence with a little more authority. You know what I'm saying? Go to UpsizeMatters.com. That's UpsizeMatters.com. UpsizeMatters.com. Get your girth on. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll practice audio. I get paid to do this. Next.
They bleed black and purple.
Like a bee, baby.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sactown Sports.
Who picked the green paint in Dave's living room? What? I don't have green paint in my living room. I don't have green paint anywhere in my house there.
Carmichael Karen,
which it makes me wonder, is there actually a Karen in our chat that lives in Carmichael, or is that a shot at me because, you know, no one wants to be a Karen? I honestly don't know.
Why can't it be both?
It could be.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's the latter.
Okay.
Jess has checked in. Girthtown Sports. I don't think we'll be doing that logo.
Huh.
The Pelicans have defeated the Kings. Actually, I thought it was over 100. The Pelicans have beaten the Kings by 96 points combined this year. Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm distracted here. From the 916, Dave shouldn't be allowed at any games in the future. The way he be talking, Drapes is my guy now. Does that mean the way I've talked about Kyle? I've never said a bad word about Kyle Draper. Or does that mean, is that because I was saddening my feelings about the Phoenix game and then I got it. Okay. Is that how you take that? Am I taking that right? Like I shouldn't be allowed at any games because I said I wanted the season to be over?
Oh, I got you. I probably. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's you getting dragged.
But then you totally redeemed yourself with the last game.
Thank you. I went. It's my third game of the year. 3-0. What do you want from me? Trying to take that streak to New Orleans. One thing we didn't have a chance to ask our guy Todd, the voice of the Pelicans. I did want to ask him if he had his druthers, like legitimately, if he could pick, would he rather tonight's game be a Golden 1 center?
Oh, you know what? I mean, based on the way he said it, yeah. I'm going to say yes.
I think he would have said yes, too. I really do.
Also, for a guy Todd, just call him headsets.
Instead of stick, the stick, huh?
No, when he was explaining.
Oh, yeah.
We gave each other a look when we talked about that.
About headsets?
Yeah, specifically the Rode headsets.
Oh, I got you. Do I have you? I think I got you now.
Yeah, you got me.
You're right. Just call them headsets. All right. 96 points combined. In the history of the play-in, the long vaunted history of the play-in
since 2021.
No 7 seed has missed the playoffs.
That could be them.
That's it. So we've got, they've lost six in a row at home. They've beaten the Kings five straight this year. No seven seed has missed. There's a lot of things that are could be stopped. Brandon Ingram is averaging just under 25 points per game against the Kings. And Jonas Valanciunas, as again, the voice of the Pelicans said, has a double-double every game against the Kings this year. And that's the thing. If Jonas Valanciunas and Domantas Sabonis basically cancel each other out, I don't like the Kings' chances whatsoever. Oh, yeah.
No, that's got to be something that's won by Sabonis. Valanciunas can have a nice game, but we have to finish the night saying Sabonis was the better center. That has to happen today.
And I think that De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray could probably help a little bit with that.
Sure.
Would be interesting if they target Valanciunas and try to get him into foul trouble, because that's a big issue if you're missing Zion and Valanciunas down low. That's knocking out a whole leg.
Yeah, and I told you that they still have the box score up here from the Laker game the other day, and to see that Valanciunas played 20 minutes, went 1 of 7, got his 10 rebounds, but 4 points, they played Larry Nance Jr. far more, and I think if you got them into that mode, that's better for the Kings, I would believe, than if it's, you know, a 30-plus minute game, Valanciunas is out of foul trouble, and he's bothering Sabonis all night.
Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta find a way. Fox and Sabonis are going to have to, you know, now, if Fox and C.J. McCollum cancel each other out, I'll probably take that.
Yeah.
I'd probably take that. And then it's really up to Domas and Keegan and Keon Ellis, man. Can he put together a game like he did? If you can put a game together against Steph Curry and the Warriors, you got to be able to do something like that or close to that against C.J. McCollum. It's got to be in him.
Yeah, and the one of the, you know, of our notes here, the one that surprised me a little bit, Dave, is Keegan, only 11 points per game in he missed one of the games, but in four matchups, I mean, Keegan's got to be, I don't know, he's going to get 32 like he did against the Warriors, but he's got to be in that high teen, low 20 number for the Kings, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Keegan Murray, only 11.5 points per game versus the Pelicans in four games this year. Now, the last time there was a 6-0 sweep by a team in the NBA was Denver going 6-0 over Minnesota. I believe that was because of the imbalanced schedule, right?
Yeah, and they also, you know, didn't have, you know, all the teams they do now. And so, yeah, people had some imbalanced schedule. So 6-0 then, this could be 6-0 technically. It's non-playoffs, even though, you know, tonight feels like a playoff. I mean, it basically
it is.
Yeah,
it's
play in to get to the playoffs, but it is playoffs.
Technically, it's a postseason game, not a playoff game. Every statistic you see tonight, you know, it's always fun to point out. If De'Aaron Fox scored 100 points tonight, it wouldn't count.
Yeah. Right. I guess Steve Kerr and G-Man referenced this in the broadcast the other night. Steve Kerr kind of joked because the only other time they were in the play-in was the year they lost both. And he goes, yeah, but who knows? Because, like, he didn't get two losses. The stats are gone.
Right.
Like, it's almost like the games, they happened, but it's like they didn't happen.
They happened, but they don't exist.
Right.
But as far as it being, now, it's a postseason game.
Yep.
Technically not a playoff game. But it has all the intensity of, I won't say it has all the intensity of a Game 7, only in the sense that a Game 7 means that two teams have gone back and forth for six straight in a row, but it is win or go home. It is the ultimate must win. It is a winner take all. So this will be incredibly intense. And what adds to that, Jason, again, alluding back to our last guest, what adds to that is the fact that you're talking about notoriously one of the poorer home atmospheres in all of the NBA. So it will be interesting to see if Pelicans fans really step up there. I will tell you that right now. I'm going to be looking for Kings fans, and what I hope is we can get a simple Keegan Murray call and response going and maybe take over Smoothie King Arena if things go right.
That would be awesome if that happened. And, you know, I get once game time starts, everybody's in the building. I mean, they'll get after it, but it isn't the same as some of the other places. And but they know what's on the line. I mean, obviously, they want to go to OKC. They want to win here, take their chances. I didn't get a chance to ask Todd that either. I mean, I wonder how they've done against – the Thunder, because I think both teams feel like if they get through today, they might be able to do some damage, even as an 8 seed against the 1 seed Thunder. But you obviously got to get through tonight first.
Just as we go to break, want to let you know, Upper Level Row 9, you can get in for $16.
Wow.
You get in for $16 tonight, Jason. How about that? Lower level, $53. Lower level, here we go. Section 116. Lower level, 119. $47. And if you want to sit near, mid court ish, if you will, you're in the $60 range.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing when you think about the fact that there's just no chance of that happening at Golden One Center.
Not at all.
We will take another break when we come back. Who's hot, who's not? We'll go streaking. We're going to do a three in the key. And Jason, if it's okay with you, I know this isn't on your sheet, and I did that kind of as a surprise with you being in New Orleans, but New Orleans is known, if for nothing else, for it's where you party. It's where you celebrate. It's where you have fun. And so what I wanted to do between now and the next segment is I wanted to celebrate with you and with Chris and with everybody listening for a very, very good reason ahead of tonight's game, because it is Ram Truck Month at Hoblett Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Woodland. What better reason to celebrate and be very excited for 75 years in business for Hoblett? Well done. Well done, Hoblett. 75 years in business. All started with Chad Hoblett's grandpa and great-grandpa's dream, and it's grown over the years to where they've had the chance to serve tens of thousands of and show them, show all of you, really, that there's something special, and there is, about Hoblett that you can't get at those big city auto mall dealerships. Right now, they've got deals. The hard-to-find HD Ram you've been looking for less? Well, you can save up to $8,000 off MSRP on the new 2024 Ram 2500 Tradesman Crew Cabs, and they've got California's biggest selection of Ram trucks. You're sure to find the truck you need. Come experience the difference at California's number one Ram truck dealer. Search, select, and save through their whole inventory at HoblettDodge.com. Unbeatable prices. Unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblett, period. We'll take a break. Who's hot, who's not, and more coming up next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Who? Wait a minute. Who? Wait. Hold on. Dude, that guy behind you looks exactly like Henry Turner.
He does look like Henry Turner. I found a Henry Turner lookalike.
There are no lookalike. There is one and one only high flyer as far as I know. But his mic isn't on, at least I see.
Yeah, it is.
There it is. Is it on?
I see you, Dave. What's going on, my brother?
My guy. My guy, Henry Turner. I've known him growing on, 25 years? Never had a crossword with you, Henry. Not once.
No. Never.
And I heard
why, you want to start something, Dave?
Not unless he's picking the Pelicans tonight.
He wants to start something with him thousands of miles away.
Yeah, exactly. Smartest thing to do.
All right.
He'll be here tonight, right?
He'll be here.
I'm saying he can come get some now.
The only sum I'm going to get from you, Henry, is a nice big hug. That's That would be that'd be a round one KO in your favor.
You know what,
pal.
Dave? You're going to get what you get every time when I see you, brother. Nothing but love, always.
And Henry's one of those guys, and I mean this in the nicest of way. This is not a backhanded compliment. When Henry pulls you in for a hug, you 100% know you are being hugged. Like, there's no daintiness to the hug. He is like, he's like, I love you, and I'm going to let you know, pal. Who is hot, Chris, other than Henry Turner?
Logan Webb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Since 1990, there have been only three pitchers to start a game allowing two hits to the first two batters faced and finish a game with seven or more innings pitched, only allowing two hits.
Wow.
Those pitchers are Rory Halladay, Shohei Ohtani, and now Logan Webb after their 5-0 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's really good company to be in. Really good company.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Who's not?
Jackson Holliday.
Oof. Yeah.
Holiday is currently batting .040 with only one hit and 25 at-bats, but he does have four runs and one RBI in his first seven games in the big leagues.
Yeah, he might need a little more seasoning, Jason.
Yeah, a little more.
What we want to do here now, as we've got a guest, a surprise guest, but we've also got streaking and three in the key. Do we want to go three in the key first and get us all involved? How do we want to do this?
We can either do that or do that with however you want to do it, Dave. We're fluid. We're mobile.
You know what? I don't want to take any time away. If we've got Henry Turner, a guy who's actually played in the NBA, a guy, you know, unlike you and my fat ass, is somebody who's actually been down there and done the things and knows what he's talking about. I mean, not that you don't, Jason, but
yeah, I know.
We'll move streaking in the Kings three in the key to the next segment. Henry, I'm very, very nervous about tonight. Where are you at?
Ooh, you know what? I might be like about 10 steps ahead of you.
How were you? Would you get nervous before NBA games?
Well, you know what? When I first came into the league, yes, I would get jitters big time. But you know, Dave, once you come out the tunnel and you get into layup line and you work up a lather, man, and then when your number is called, it's business as usual.
Yeah, but how about a team, if you ever in your day, Henry, played a team like this, and meaning that just has owned the Kings, like that owned you guys, that you're like, yeah, we're going to keep trying, we're going to do our thing, but like you just, for whatever reason, the matchup has been bad.
You know what, Jason, you do have to dig extra, because like I said, this game tonight is not like, you know, you just walking into any arena and said, okay, throw it up, let's go. No, believe me, it's in your head that these guys have worked us every time we stepped on the floor. I don't care if it's without B.I., without Zion. No matter who's on the floor, they've given it to us. So you definitely have to try to find something different, something extra that you can bring to the game, man, just so you can come out of here with a W.
Is it something as a player? Is there ever an inkling as to how you're going to perform before it even starts? And let me give you an example. I'm going to take you back not that long ago to January of 1992. It was a game against Barcelona, and you scored 52 points in that game on 18 of 23, 3 of 6 from behind the arc. That's 72.5%, by the way, and you were also you made all your free throws.
But he missed five shots.
I know, which we'll get to. Did you know before that game when you were in the tunnel, was there anything different about that game that you remember before you stepped on the floor?
Oh, for sure. Barcelona was number one. Barcelona was number one, and they were like, if you can put it into perspective, they were like the Lakers of the Spanish league back then. They couldn't do no wrong. You know, they had all the best Spaniards on their team. They had supposedly all the best Americans on their team. And, you know, and I'm a type of guy to where I take that personal.
Sure.
I mean, once I hit the floor, you got to show me.
Yeah.
Did you feel any different? Before the game?
Before the game, no, I didn't eat before the game. I was hungry, Dave.
Yeah.
I was hungry. I came in with a different mindset. You know, when I hit my first three shots, because you have that feeling when that first one go, you're like, okay, there I am. You hit that second one, you're like, oh, I'm feeling good. When you step back and you let that third one go and it drop, you're like, oh, it's on now.
Yeah.
And
that's why I feel like tonight, Henry, look, the Kings and anybody, we've said this all year long, 20-point leads, they evaporate. It changes. I think it's important tonight for the Kings to be in it early because they have been owned by the Pelicans. Like, if this gets out of hand early, sure, they could come back. But then it's like, man, are we just going down the same road again?
And you know what, Jason, and you're totally right because, like, Dave brought up that game. I'm going to tell you what, by, like, the first 5 minutes I was playing, they were looking at me like, and their coach like, we can't do nothing with this dude. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? And I was like, yeah, I got you now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were throwing, just like Steve Kerr, they were throwing everything at me. This guy would guard me. That guy would guard me. They would double team. Made no difference because I'm rolling now.
Yep.
Now,
you know, once you let a ball player start going downhill, it's over with.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking right now. Luis Barroso had 7. Ion Rementeria had 4. Why was nobody picking you up, or they just get out of the way?
You know what? I had a very nice Spanish point guard. His name was Carlos. Mm-hmm. And he just told me, he said, I'm giving you the ball every time, shoot. I'm giving you the ball every time down, shoot. Whether we were in fast break, whether it was in the secondary, Every time I got the ball, it was shoot.
Hey, that's what Jason says to me.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot it the right way.
And Dave, it was so funny. Like, you know, you say when guys get on a heater, that week I had 52, 49, and 55.
Nice.
Okay. Wow. So I got to ask you, did you please tell me you also didn't eat before the next game?
You know, the thing was, Dave, that the All-Star game was that weekend. And everybody hadn't been put on the All-Star game yet. And I hadn't made the ballot. I was on for the slam dunk, but I hadn't made the All-Star team. So I had three games until the All-Star break. And when you give them 52, 49,
it, huh?
and 55, oh, yeah.
Get noticed that way.
Oh, yeah.
Henry, so when you look at tonight then, what do you see as, like, all right, again, how can they – we know Zion's out, but look, the last time Zion didn't play against the Kings, they won by 33. They led by 50 in Golden 1. So how do the Kings find a way today?
It's live or die.
Yeah.
It's live or die tonight. And, you know, we've been in this situation to where you say, okay, well, you know, the Kings should be fired up, and, you know, they have all the motivation. Well, the rubber hits the road right here. If you don't win tonight, you're going home.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you do win tonight – you remember all those games we went back and looked at, the Houston's, you know, of course, the New Orleans games,
Detroit, Charlotte,
all those games that we go back and look at and say, ugh, if they win tonight, all of that will be erased.
Yeah.
So we were saying earlier, because somebody called in nice enough and said, you know, you can't, it's tough to beat a team six times in a row. And I was questioning that, like, well, it's also tough to beat them five times in a row, four times in a row. I don't believe in that. Like, I feel like if you beat a team five times in a row, it's probably easier to beat them six times in a row because of the confidence. So for you, what do the Kings have to do differently tonight to erase that 0-5?
Well, I will say this. When you're a team that has owned a squad for four, five games, that might be to their detriment. And I'm talking about New Orleans. Because they're looking at the team like, man, we blew these guys out and we was undermanned. You know, we got them there, we got them here. It didn't make no difference. So they might come in overconfident. You know, I'm telling you, it's a lot to be said for a basketball team that has their backs up against the wall. You will come out with a Herculean effort when you have nothing else to lose. So, you know, the Pelicans are feeling pretty good. Okay, the Lakers smacked us. You know, we did that. But now it's time for us to do our smacking. And guess what? Here comes the little lunch boy that we take his lunch money every time he walk in, you know, to the cafeteria. We're going to take his money. Well, guess what? That little boy just said to his mama, okay, mama, I'm tired of this. Yeah. I'm not taking it no more. I'm not taking it no more. So you're going to have a fight on your hands.
Henry also had 8 steals in March for an Italian game. And it was a road loss, but not because of Henry Turner, by the way. You did everything you possibly could in that game. I go. You were one of my first autographs, High Flyer. So I love going through yesteryear a little bit, and hopefully they could use you tonight, buddy. We'll see you out there. Good luck. Thank you for joining us, and let's light that beam from New Orleans, huh?
Yo, that's what I'm saying. You coming though, right, Dad?
I am. I'll be there sometime late afternoon. We'll go straight to the game. So try to check in, and when you don't have the headsets on, say hello.
All right, you got a hood coming.
Okay, that's worth the trip alone.
Be ready.
Thank you. We'll take a break when we come back. More of Jason Ross live in New Orleans. We will also get to our studio guest, Brendan Nunes, Kings senior insider, joining us on the program. And we've still got 3 in the key, along with Let's Go Streak. And we'll involve Brendan with those as well. Don't forget, celebrity birthdays, Friday fun and games coming up. I'll leave a little bit early so I can catch my flight. But Brendan and Jason and eventually Styles and Watkins will all be here to take us all the way till 9 a.m. right here on your home, or 10 a.m. right here on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.